And you know how we begin it? We begin it with the Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. This is your boy, your brother Eddie. You're listening to the Dean Show Radio Show. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. We've been requested for a long time now to bring on a sister on the show. Where are the sisters? And when we come back for the first time, this is a historical moment on the Dean Show Radio Show. Sister Fazia coming up next. You don't want to go nowhere.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave dangers of worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than the Creator.
And with us, all the way from Canada, our sister. Now, let this be known. This is a special appearance because we've been getting emails and we've been getting feedback and people, alhamdulillah, all thanks. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth. People are loving the show. The Dean Show is becoming a household name only by the permission and grace of the one who created the heavens and the earth, God Almighty, Allah. But people have been asking, where are the sisters? Where do you got them? Locked up back in the closet? You won't let them come out? Oh, that's far from the truth. And today we have our first sister on the Dean Show. This is a historical moment. Fazia Muhammad, how are you, sister?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm well, and yourself?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy of Allah be upon you. Thank you. I'm good. Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah.
Tell us a little bit about, you heard me mention, this is a historical moment. You're the first sister. We've just been busy. We've been here, there, but we put it on our schedule to have a sister. It's kind of hard to get a hold of some of the sisters, but we got a hold of you. So you're our first guest on the Dean Show from the sister side. Are you excited?
SubhanAllah, it is exciting, and it's also a lot of weight on my shoulders, and I pray that I do well, inshallah, for the rest of the sisters that will grace your studio.
Inshallah, Allah will make it easy. God Almighty will make it easy. Tell us now a little bit about yourself, sister.
Well, Eddie, I am, as you mentioned in the introduction, I'm Canadian, and I'm a trained journalist, and I have worked in that field. However, in the last about 3 to 4 years now, I've concentrated working in the Islamic, arena, mm-hmm. in terms of arranging different events, da'wah conferences, even classes, and at the present time, I'm also an operations manager with a local Islamic institute called Ilm Path Academy. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where my work has taken direction the last few years, alhamdulillah.
So it seems like in this work, you get to meet with a lot of and interact with a lot of students of knowledge, people of knowledge.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's mainly my focus, because what happens is we have major events through during the year in the city of Toronto. And I'm usually in charge of dealing with the speakers, and these are the students of knowledge, anywhere from booking their tickets all the way through to their hotel accommodations, to planning their itinerary and arranging media interviews, such as with yourself, since you've been with us here a few years now. So that's pretty much the bulk of the work that I do, and it revolves directly with the students of knowledge themselves.
So this also shows that it's very encouraged for our Muslim sisters to seek knowledge, to obtain knowledge, and to be upon knowledge.
Absolutely. Very, very important to do that. Yes.
Tell us now, Islam, the call to acquire peace by submitting your entire self to the one God, the one who created you, who is sustaining you, taking care of you. This is Islam. It's the fastest growing way of life in the world today, yesterday, and tomorrow. it will be, with God's help. More women, is a fact, are accepting Islam than men. Now, some might argue, that maybe it's because, you know, the Muslim men are so good looking that they end up marrying some of the non-Muslims and they convert, however you want to say it, to Islam. Bear with me. But, okay, so what do you think? Why do you think more women are accepting Islam than men? And do you think it's because of what I just mentioned? Talk to us.
Well, excellent question, Eddie, and I must say this. From a woman's point of view, and I don't know how many people know this who are not Muslim, but Islam was the first religion to recognize women's rights. I mean, contrary to popular belief and what's out there in the media, the negativity that comes with it, really, Islam was the first religion to recognize the rights of women. This occurred 1,400 years ago. Mm-hmm. So who would not want to, what woman on the face of this earth today would not want to be in a religion that allows her to have rights, allows her a voice? I don't get it. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why a lot of the sisters that I've even met in my work who are reverting back to Islam, you know, that's the one of the main points that we always tend to discuss. Mm-hmm. And that is they feel as though they were oppressed, mm-hmm, before Islam. They feel as though their rights were not recognized. Now, let's look at it from a different perspective. Living in the Western world, you and I can agree that the women that are not Muslims out on the streets, they can do what they want, dress how they want, mm-hmm, they work, they do whatever it is that they choose to. But
talk to a sister.
Inshallah. Yeah. When you really sit down and talk to the non-Muslim women, you really tend to find out that they themselves feel oppressed by the freedom that they have,
yeah,
and the ability to choose and make their own choices. But if you ask me, I practice my religion. I pray my 5 times a day, which is mandatory. I am covered from head to toe. And yet, when I walk down the street, I am the most liberated woman next to the women who are half-dressed. Now, that's a big phenomenon. I should, in all honesty, I should feel oppressed. And the one that's able to do whatever they want, dress how they want, they should feel liberated. But that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Now, when I walk down the street, Eddie, I get more respect than some of the ladies who are not covered like me. Mm-hmm. You know, why? Because they see that, you know, I'm practicing and I'm humble and I lower my gaze and, you know, so there's a lot of different aspects that when you tie them all in, it comes back to the point of Islam liberated women. And what I really wanted to say is, contrary to popular belief, we are liberated and we're quite happy with where we are in life.
So you don't have like some women who are out there, I mean, and may God Almighty have mercy and guide all the women to Islam, the way of life that frees them from being slaves to men, actually, and fashion and et cetera, et cetera. Tell us, you don't have what many women have, the problem of, let's say, the construction workers or other people rolling down the windows. Hey, baby! And they're whistling and all these other chuckles that, you know, that go on.
No, Eddie, I mean, every once in a while you will get heckled, but it might not be for that reason.
Yeah.
It might be something negative, and really, there's no need to get into all that now. Yeah. But most of the times, it's, and you know what's also liberty is that when the brothers see you,
yeah,
now, you know, Muslim men, they tend to give you way, they tend to give you salams. If you're stuck somewhere, they tend to help. So, mm-hmm, my covering is actually a means of protection for me, both on the inside and the outside.
Yeah.
Now, I remember this, Eddie. I was traveling along a highway. Mm-hmm. My car broke down, and I was trying to call the CAA to come and tow my car.
Yeah.
And I came out of the car, and I was covered. So I came out of the car, and this family,
yeah,
who happened to be passing by, actually stopped. And they happened to be Muslims. Now, let's assume that I wasn't covered, where you couldn't recognize that I'm a Muslim female.
Yeah.
I highly doubt that family would have stopped, because it was at night.
Yeah.
And they were trying to rush their kids home to sleep and whatnot. Uh-huh. So, as I said, it's more than just a covering.
Yeah.
It provides a protection both from the inside and the outside. So do we get heckled sometimes? Absolutely. Is it for the right reasons? No, it's not. But do we also get talked to by people in for the right reason? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So tell us now, the next question, you kind of answered it, but I want to just discuss this briefly. When you have this term, when people use this term, oppression of women, and it's being linked back to Islam, you as a practicing woman, Muslim woman, I mean, what goes through your mind?
Well, if I choose to look at it from their point of view, then I could say because they don't have the knowledge of Islam and they don't have the knowledge of how women are highly praised and raised in Islam, it's possible to see why they would think we are oppressed.
Uh-huh.
You know, the first thing I always encounter is the issue of the covering. Well, if you're going to practice this religion, why do you have to cover? You know, God doesn't say you should cover. But then they're talking from a point of ignorance,
mm-hmm.
not knowing, but not arrogance.
Yeah.
You know, at least a lot of the people, a lot of the people that I've discussed this with, a lot of the females, it's never an issue of arrogance, it's an issue of ignorance. So
ignorance, okay.
Yes. And being a Muslim woman and practicing and covering, it's an identifier, as I'd mentioned in the last thing that we just talked about, where I was stranded on the highway and a family stopped to help me. Okay, let me give you an example. Let's say a female walks up to me who's not a Muslim, and the main question they ask is, "Why are you covered?"
Mm-hmm. You've had had this happen before?
A million times,
uh-huh.
especially in the city of Toronto. We have so many people. People tend to be friendly when the weather's warmer and people talk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm standing on the street or I'm doing some shopping and a lady would just ask me, so may I ask why you cover like that?
That's a great opportunity to share Islam with the people, huh?
Exactly. That is the perfect opportunity to give them the true message of Al-Islam.
Yeah.
But it's not the time to rebuke them. It's not the time to walk past them. It's not the time to be rude to them. This is an opportunity that Allah is giving us to have a conversation. And believe it or not, a lot of the opportunities that I've harnessed in such a manner where I wasn't even prepared, most of these people have become Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And they've remained friends over years, and people that I still talk to, people that we go to classes together and we do things together. So it's very important, even mm-hmm. for the other sisters who, inshallah, are going to be listening to this message, to always humble themselves when these sisters approach them. And even if they're rude with their question, be patient. Because in your example, you might bring her into Islam
mm-hmm.
by your kindness and the way you choose to talk to them and how you respond to them. So, I think these are very important points to get across.
Very important points: to be kind, to be patient, and as you said, many people just out of ignorance, lack of education of Islam, and that's why the Deen Show is out there trying to help educate people on the Deen, on this way of life, of all the messages of God, including the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Our next question with our sister Fazia: tell us, do you feel, again, you've answered this, but we just want to really expound on this. Do you feel in any way oppressed? Did someone force you to submit? Did someone force you, coerce you to submit to the one God alone, the Creator? Did someone force you to establish a connection with your Lord, with the Creator of Jesus, Moses, Abraham, not the moon, but the one who created the moon? Did someone force you to establish a connection with him 24/7, minimum five times a day in the prayer, which we call the Salat? Did anyone force you to do this?
Absolutely not. And I'll qualify that and say that there is no compulsion in this deen, in this way of life. Now, as I'd mentioned in our pre-interview, I was born into generations of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always known Islam. I mean, I'm aware of other religions. I went to, you know, schools where we were taught the Christian religion as part of our curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know the Lord's Prayer, and I do know, you know, that all the prophets that we have, like Nuh and Musa, is Noah and Moses, and the list goes on and on. So mm-hmm. I know a bit about both religions. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So for me to say that I was forced into this way of life, into this religion, will be a complete and utter lie. And what I can say is that my parents were practicing, alhamdulillah, their parents were practicing, their parents' parents, my aunts, my uncles. So all I've known is Islam. All I've known is that to be liberated and to be complete as a woman, the first and only important thing is to submit to Allah, to the one God. How do you submit? You submit by being modest, being humble, praying. Because the prayer is the key. It's what keeps us connected to Allah, to God, right?
Yes.
And, you know, living our lives as humble people, and the list goes on and on, Eddie, but there is no compulsion in this deen whatsoever. Nobody told me you have to do this, have to do that, but they taught me how to pray, how to cover, how to be a good Muslim sister. They taught me how to have respect for my neighbors, knock on their doors, give them salams and say, how are you doing today? Whether they're Muslims or not, that's besides the point.
Beautiful.
We have to do these things because we have to teach through a good example. And the only way you can do that is by interacting with the other people and showing them the true beauty and the true message of this deen, al-Islam. So,
excellent. So you made a conscious decision on your own to, again, submit to the one God, to establish the prayer, and some of the other beautiful moral teachings, to abstain, let's say, from alcohol, from drugs, from gambling, from illicit relations outside of marriage. Nobody oppressed you, coerced you, forced you to live this righteous moral code that the Creator calls all of us to live by.
No, and I'm actually going to say this, Eddie, as you were speaking, something occurred to me. The real oppression, Eddie, would come in the form of my family not teaching me about this deen, not teaching me who I am and how to be and what I need to do to submit to God. And so if they did not take that opportunity to teach me these things, that would have been the true oppression.
Absolutely. So the veil, obviously, again, you weren't forced into any of these other things. The veil now, which obviously, again, the people after listening to this, if they're sincere, humble-hearted, and they want to know the truth, they're going to get a different picture because they're hearing it from not the Muslim man, but the Muslim sister. The sister who, again, has taken this free choice that she has, either to submit to a man, to a monkey, to something in the creation. No, she decided to submit to the one God who created her. And you weren't forced, obviously, to wear the veil. And do you feel, again, I mean, from listening to your other questions, answers, you've answered it. But again, do you feel liberated or do you feel oppressed?
Well, to answer your first question, the answer is no. Nobody oppressed me. Nobody forced me. Nobody paid me. Nobody enticed me. Nobody did anything other than teach me my religion. So that's point number one. Number two, there is no oppression in Islam for women. Contrary to popular belief, praying and covering and being modest and keeping away from all these things that you'd mentioned, the illicit relationships and the drinking alcohol and the smoking and the drugs, is actually a protection for us.
Yeah.
So I don't see why somebody else would look at Islam and say, well, you're oppressed. Because to be honest with you, those that are not practicing, from the Muslims and the non-Muslims, they are the true oppressed people on the face of this earth, Dean, Eddie.
Easy to understand, easy to digest, it's very simple, and you're doing something that's natural. Not following your desires, your lusts, and your passions, but you're following what the one who created you, who gave you life, who give you death, the one who we're all going to have to answer to on the day of judgment, and then those wonderful reward of paradise or the punishment. People get scared to mention it, the hellfire. We want to stay away from it. May God Almighty Allah protect us from that. You're doing the right thing, God's thing. Tell us, why do you think, and how can we encourage our sisters? We were addressing a lot of the non-Muslims, people who didn't know, but now you have some sisters who know. They know that they need to be doing some of the things that Allah commanded them to do, God Almighty commanded them to do, the things that we're discussing, but they have such a hard time. We want to be sensitive to this, obviously, but how can we give some encouragement when we see you as a sister, you're able to do it. They feel like, you know, my family, if I put the hijab on, if I leave off some of these vices, you know, it's just normal in our culture, our custom. How could we encourage them to live that complete obedience to the Creator as you're trying to do humbly?
Excellent question, Eddie. And this is something that I practice in my own life in terms of the people that I meet and the sisters that I talk to from the non-Muslims. The first thing I always say to them is, once they have enough knowledge about Islam, about this way, complete way of life, the first step is always to take the Shahada, which is the proclamation of faith. Mm-hmm. After that's done, a lot of the people would think, well, now I have to wear the veil. Well, now I have to cover myself. That's not the truth. That's not the correct way to go about it. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you want them to be comfortable enough to cover themselves for the right reasons, but you do not want to force it upon them just because they've made the proclamation of faith. Mm-hmm. What I advise them, however, is I start teaching them about how to make the prayer.
Yes.
Because after proclaiming the Shahada, the second step is to learn how to make your prayer. Because this is how you conversate with God, with Allah. This is how you keep that rope connected. This is how you keep yourself rooted in Islam. So as I said, the second thing is to teach them how to pray. I'll get them books in English. I will teach them the first surah, which is the opening of the Quran, the Fatiha. And even if they're not able to recite it in Arabic, which mm-hmm. for most people is difficult, what I tend to do is write it out in transliteration. Mm-hmm. So they're reading Arabic, but they're reading it out of English text. Mm-hmm. So it becomes easier. And even before they're able to memorize it and say it from their memory, I tend to write it out and they can hold the paper. So we have to take these steps to make things easier and less difficult on these sisters, as opposed to just sticking them up in a local masjid, having them proclaim the Shahada and say, go. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, one or two things will happen. Either A, they will give up very, very easy, very easily and very soon into becoming a Muslim. Mm-hmm. Or B, they might not even bother learning about it, but they will call themselves Muslim. Mm-hmm. So first, we talk about the Shahada, what it means, and then once they understand that and they made their intention and they've proclaimed the Shahada, mm-hmm. we talk about the Salah. And then while we're talking about the Salah, I would begin talking to them about issues that are important that pertain to the female. Mm-hmm. Because again, this goes hand in hand. We teach them how to make the ablution for Salah, teach them how to make the ablution for when they come off their monthly menses. Uh-huh. Again, this is important because you have to realize they're coming from a lifestyle where these things were not important or they were not taught or it just didn't have a merit. Mm-hmm. You know, something as simple as using water in the bathroom is something that they have to learn. Mm-hmm. For you and I, it might be easy. It might be our daily life. Mm-hmm. But when you put yourself in their shoes, you come to realize that, wait a minute, they're not used to this. And how do they use the water? And when should they not? And when do they? So all these things they come in hand. Mm-hmm. And so I like to take it in stages and steps. And then finally, we get to a point where along the way, we're still conversating about the hijab. I'll show them different styles of the hijab, which is the head covering, and I'll buy them some. I'll take them shopping with me sometimes. And then slowly they start experimenting. It might be for an hour a day, or it might be just to the local masjid, which is a mosque in their neighborhood. Or I might invite them over to come meet my family. Then they'll put it on just to test it out and see how it feels. And then slowly but surely, they get to the point where they're now comfortable actually wearing the veil and going outside in public, going shopping, going to schools, going to work. Mm-hmm. And then usually I'll get a phone call and they'll be like, oh, guess what? Somebody gave me the salams on the street. That felt so good. That felt amazing. And I'll be like, you see, mashallah, I told you.
Now it's easier, huh? It becomes easier now.
Exactly.
Okay.
But then once in a while, you know, as much as I've been practicing this religion from when I was born, you know, you will still find people who will say negative things to you. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, I still get those phone calls. Oh, Sister Fauzia, I was told, go back to your country. And sometimes they want to stand there and argue it out, and sometimes they just want to walk away.
Quickly, how do you handle that?
Yes, I was just going to get into it. Yeah. So what I tell them is, if you're in public and it's you're not in an enclosed space, just walk and leave. Don't even, whether it's enclosed or not, mm-hmm. don't bother explaining anything. Just leave, because it might be that that person had a bad experience, or it might be the person is paying attention to the negativity in the media and all around us. So the best thing to do is just to leave that situation. Don't explain anything. If it's a female, however, then I would encourage them to talk to the female. But if it starts getting out of hand, I would just say, give the salams and walk away.
Okay.
So but that's how I usually handle
but
it.
But not, don't give up. It's a test. Don't give up now. We mentioned that it becomes easier. They're excited. Other Muslims are giving them the salams. But on the other side, someone might say something negative. But we should not use this as an excuse now to take off the hijab.
No, absolutely not. Because, and one thing I let my sisters know and realize is that as a Muslim, as a believer, you will be tested. Mm-hmm. And this is just to test your faith and your belief, and to see how strong you are in your iman, because nothing worthwhile in this life comes easy. And we all know that, mm-hmm. whether you're Muslim or you're not Muslim. Mm-hmm. So I always try to remind them that you will be tested, and these are your little tests. And anytime you come across a point or, you know, a fork in the road and you're not sure how to proceed, touch base with me, or I'll introduce them to other sisters. I'll introduce them to the local imams who are at the head of the mosque.
Yeah.
In their area, especially, so that they can get this encouragement from different people, and it's not just from one person.
Yes.
So then it becomes easier with time as we go along.
So if you don't let it break you, it's only going to make you stronger. But if you break there, then you're going to be weaker.
Absolutely. And you'll lose out.
You'll lose out big
definitely
time.
Definitely lose out. You'll stop being liberated. You go back to the old life. You go back to the nonsense that people are trying to get away from now. So the best thing to do is hold on fast and hold on tight. Mm-hmm. And one encouragement I'd like to give out to my fellow Muslim sisters out there is embrace these sisters in your community, at the masjids, on the roads, in the buses, at the hospitals, shopping, you name it. We come across these sisters on a daily, daily basis, and yet we tend to ignore them, or we're too busy with our own lifestyle. And wallahi, if I can just say one thing that one person can practice starting today, is give them a smile. Say hello to them, talk to them, encourage them, exchange phone numbers, get to know them, invite them into your home, invite them into your local masjid when you have a sister's gathering, when you have an event, and see how fast this will trickle down into your community and beyond.
Get involved in that support mechanism. That's going to lead me to my next question, the cultural meltdown, where now you seem like everything that God Almighty is saying that is harmful for us, and it's only out of His love, in His ultimate wisdom, He knows these things are harmful, so He tells us to stay away from Him. But we've gotten accustomed and desensitized, so now we're taking role models as Britney Spears, J-Lo, and now American Idol. I can't give up American Idol now. We know what's going on in the world. We need to stay attuned. We're not watching this. I'm mentioning it because this is the reality. So is it more important that the sister, let's say she's establishing the prayer and she's trying to increase her iman, and that's through the knowledge that these elements, how can she get away from this norm, that meltdown of melting into this like I just mentioned, and how can she transition to being more with the support mechanism, and will that help strengthen her so she can eventually leave all this alone?
Excellent. Now, Eddie, one thing that we need to recognize is that there isn't getting away from this. This is the lifestyle of this part of the world, especially this part of the world. This is the culture. This is the norm. You walk down the street, music is blaring. You go into shopping malls. Now they have huge television sets where American Idol is being shown, or some of those dance shows or talk shows. So there is no getting away from it. However, the support mechanism, the best way to tap into the support mechanism is, again, people like me who give da'wah on a daily basis, other sisters who are talking to these sisters and they're smiling at them and giving them phone numbers. This is an excellent way to tap into that support mechanism. And then, because I'll tell you this, if I wasn't a Muslim and somebody you know, help me, bring me to Islam. And then they just left me on my own devices. It's very easy for me to, at that point, to turn away. But if you're constantly calling me, encouraging me, seeing me, bringing me out of my home, out of my shell, out of that negative environment, then it becomes easy for me to tap into that resource, easy enough for me to walk into that masjid on my own, easy enough for me to walk into that sister's group and sit down and exchange gifts and exchange laughter and talk and, you know, and encourage each other and even learn from each other. So, again, it goes back to what I had said earlier in terms of encouraging our Muslim sisters to reach out. This is the best way to set up a solid support mechanism in your community. And it is, it's my hope that this will trickle, you know, all over globally.
Couple more points, and we're almost out of time. Tell us, there's a lot of there's a lot of brothers also, but our topic here is the sisters because we got a sister to talk to. There's a lot of sisters. I get a lot of emails, and there's a lot of sisters depressed out there. Could the leading cause of this depression be because a lot of us have turned away from truly submitting ourselves to everything that the one who loves us the most, Allah, has told us to do? And how can they get out of this depression?
You know, Eddie, we were all born under the fitra, or in, on the fitra rather, not under, but on the fitra, which means the natural disposition, and that's Islam. But now, let's look at it this way. Let's say there's a hurricane outside and you're walking into it. Right?
Yeah.
It's going to suck you in. It's going to take you. It's going to take you apart. It's going to create more havoc on you. But if you had something to shield you away from it, you would be protected.
Yes.
Right? So this is what Islam means. This is your shield against the depression and the suicides and the sadness and you name it. This is your protection. It's almost like an invisible shield that we can't see with our own eyes, but our actions are what make us strong. Our actions are what make the shield stronger for us. So can these people or these sisters get away from the depression and the sadness and the issues that are going on in their life? Yes, they can. How can they do that? By submitting to the one true God, Allah. And that's very simple.
Beautiful analogy. Don't run towards the hurricane, run away. So run towards the one who is the reliever of any depression, sadness, and truly in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. Doesn't Allah say that?
Absolutely, yes.
Allahu Akbar. Tell us now, what kind of, you're involved in a lot of dawah work and the journey of faith. Talk to us a moment about some of this wonderful work you and the other sisters and brothers are doing down there and how people can get involved in the upcoming convention out there before we come to a close.
Excellent. Now, Journey of Faith was started about, this will be our third year. So 2008, we had our very first successful convention in the city of Toronto. We had over 5,000 attendees. The second year went slightly higher. And this year, we're going even bigger. We're going with 3 days. We're getting a lot of students of knowledge from all different parts of the world. We're going with an international exhibition and bazaar space. We also every year now have women's session. We have side sessions like workshops. We have non-Muslim sessions where we invite non-Muslims to come in for free. Again, to learn about this deen, to connect with the Muslims, and to be in that environment of nurturing, you know. And we also open our doors to the reverts. Now, these are the new Muslims. Again, we allow them to come in for free. We don't charge them a penny. And we say, come, eat with us, learn with us, share with us, listen to the students of knowledge that, that we're bringing for you. Because this da'wah, this Islam, shouldn't just be kept between me and you.
Yes.
This da'wah is for everybody. And this is one of the mandates of Journey of Faith Conference in Toronto, Canada. Now, this year, we're going to have the convention from July 2nd to the 4th. We're going to have it at the same venue, Metro Toronto Convention Center. And the work began months and months ago. We're really into the deep of it now. Almost all our speakers have been confirmed, and the venue and everything is going according to plan. What I would like to say is for those that live in Canada, for those that live in North America, even for those that live outside of North America, if you're able to make it this year, I pray that Allah makes it easy for you and your families to make it. And if not, please visit our website at www.journeyconference.com. And there you can order our first, second, and inshallah this year's DVD sets. And you will still get to connect with the community and the work that we're doing here, inshallah.
Tell us, final closing comments and advice for those women out there, non-Muslim, Muslim women, who now they like what we had to say, what the sister had to say, the first woman, historical moment, first woman on the Dean Show, and they're hearing it from the sisters. They like what you had to say, and the woman's like, you know what? I've been hearing Muslim women are oppressed. You know what? I feel oppressed, and it seems like she's liberated. What advice can you give to those sisters now who are just at the border? But you know what? When they tune off this show, they might go back to watching American Idol and looking at J-Lo and taking the wrong examples, and they forget about this. What encouragement that you can give to them to take the right step towards the right direction?
Excellent. First thing I'd like to say is, with everything in life, Eddie, whether it be attaining higher education or getting that job, or you know, just settling yourself in a new community, for instance, there's always a first step, and usually it's one of the hardest steps to make. Once you make that first step, however, then everything falls into place and it will flow with time, with perseverance, with patience. And again, another thing that cuts across all humanity is that we're always afraid of change. Mm-hmm. My challenge, I'd like to issue this challenge to the sisters out there. My challenge is, give up your fears, shake it off, step up, and go learn about this deen.
Step up. That's absolutely right. Stay away from the hurricane. Step up and step towards the right direction, submitting to the one who created you, Allah the Almighty, and that's how we can have peace, huh?
Absolutely, brother. You just encapsulated better than I could.
Thank you, sister, so much, so much. May Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, reward you for the wonderful work you're doing and for being with us on the Deen Show.
Ameen. And you too. And the same goes for you and your family. Jazakumullah khairan.
Wa iyyakum. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Peace in you, peace in me, peace for everybody. Fresh, pure, holy peace. Fresh, pure, holy peace. I feel the peace,
I feel the peace
inside of me.
Inside of me.
A complete tranquility.